The Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which prohibits workplace discrimination against gay, lesbian, and transgendered people, cleared a hurdle in the U.S. Senate last night. With a vote of 61-30, the Senate opened the floor to debate on the bill, and a full vote on the measure is expected by the end of the week. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, November 5th. President Obama called on Congress to pass the Employment Non-Discrimination Act in a blog over the weekend. But House Speaker John Boehner yesterday voiced his opposition to the measure. So what does all this mean, practically and politically? We will talk with a guest expert, and we will welcome your questions and your reactions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guest. We are very happy to have with us Gary Mucciarone, who is a professor of political science at Temple University. He specializes in the politics of gay and lesbian rights and is author of the book Same Sex, Different Politics: Issues and Institutions in the Struggle for Gay and Lesbian Rights. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So your reaction to the Senate vote yesterday?
Well, it was certainly a good day for the LGBT rights movement. You know, this is a piece of legislation that began way back in the 1970s. I think it was 1974 that it was first introduced in the House by Bella Abzug, a very liberal representative from New York. And anyway, it's kicked around all the way, you know, for all these decades, and never has never been passed. It came up once in the Senate before in 1996 during the debate over DOMA, remember, the Defense of Marriage Act, and they tried to pass it then as a kind of consolation prize because they felt bad they were passing DOMA. A lot of Democrats voted for DOMA in 1996, but it failed in the Senate back in 1996 by one vote. And then nothing happened to it until 2007. It was passed in the House. Without the protection for transgendered people, but it passed in the House and then it died in the Senate. And so, you know, this is something that's been a long time coming. It's not an issue that gets nearly as much media attention or certainly as much controversy as the marriage issue. But it's still something important. It's basically it's a basic civil rights piece of legislation to protect gays and lesbians from discrimination in employment, and so it sort of moves the ball down the field a little bit. There's probably no chance it will pass this session because it would have to get through the House, of course, and Speaker Boehner has indicated his opposition and that he would not bring it up for a vote. Now, if it were to come up for a vote in the House somehow, it would probably pass because there would be enough Democrats and probably enough Republicans, you know, Republican House members that would pass it, but it won't. And so this is more or less symbolic, but it's a victory for the gay rights movement and something that the Democrats certainly want to do to show that they're helping the movement, they're trying to support the movement, and it puts a lot of Republicans on the spot.
Yeah, well, we'll talk a little bit more about the politics involved here, but it sounds like this is going to be history repeating itself. Then one House is going to pass it, and the other one isn't.
Yeah, yes, that's probably what will happen, and that's, you know, a product of our of two things. One, of course, our set of institutions in the United States, where you have a lot of fragmentation of power. You have a president and a Senate and a House, and different parties can control different parts of the government at different times. And so, to pass any major piece of legislation or anything that's controversial, you have to get all three to agree, and that frequently, not always, but frequently means the same party has to control both houses of Congress and the presidency. And then, of course, added on to that is that you have contemporary politics in the United States, which is extremely polarized. A lot of people have argued that there hasn't been this much partisan polarization since the Civil War. I mean, I don't know about that, but it mm-hmm. certainly is very polarized. So you have a situation where it's very difficult, as we all know, for the two parties to come to an agreement, and so you gridlock is the norm these days. So it's no surprise that this wouldn't get through both houses of Congress.
All right. So this legislation would prohibit workplace discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. How big a problem is that discrimination in the workplace today?
Well, it is a problem. There are numerous instances of where people are discriminated against. There are people who are discriminated against on in terms of sexual orientation and gender identity, who aren't even gay, but they're perceived to be gay. Now, of course, this is the kind of discrimination that is easy. The complaints are not always reported, obviously, mm-hmm. and the problem is, of course, that we don't often hear about it or observe it because those who might be subject to it overtly are subject to it covertly because they must stay in the closet. They mm-hmm. they feel that the work environment is sufficiently hostile or could be hostile or there's too much of a risk in coming out at work because they fear some form of discrimination, either in terms of not getting hired at the interview stage or not getting promoted or not getting a raise or some other kind of problem. So that's a very good question. How widespread is it? And some opponents of this say, well, it just isn't that much of a problem. We don't hear that much about workplace discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, but it does occur, and it would presumably occur much more if gays and lesbians couldn't, in most cases, conceal their orientation. Mm-hmm. So it's also civil rights laws are important not simply because they punish bigots or deter the people who might otherwise be bigoted, but they're an important statement on the basis of society that it's wrong to discriminate on the basis of, let's say, sexual orientation or race or religion or whatever. And it's the law teaches, right? It teaches us that certain kinds of conduct are acceptable and others aren't. So in some ways, this goes beyond the actual victims of actual overt discrimination against gays and lesbians. It's an important statement by society saying that we have come to the conclusion that this kind of discrimination is wrong. And so it has a kind of far-reaching, diffuse effects in society when a group gains this kind of civil rights protection.
Mm-hmm. Speaker Boehner, in his opposition that he voiced yesterday, said that there are existing laws that already cover discrimination, so we don't need another law. What kinds of measures are on the books to deal with this already, or is he wrong?
Well, there are some. There are states that have the protection. I think it's altogether it's 21 states.
Wisconsin among them.
Yes, Wisconsin among them. Although I don't, only of the 21 states cover sexual orientation discrimination, but 17, not including Wisconsin, cover gender identity discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
So Wisconsin is kind of a minority of a minority in the sense that it's one of the states that does have protection for gays and lesbians, one of the 21, but it doesn't extend it to gender identity. And so some states do have it, and certainly a lot of municipalities, even in states where there is no statewide law against this kind of discrimination, a lot of municipalities have these laws, so ordinances. So, for example, in the state that in which I reside, Pennsylvania, there is no statewide anti-discrimination law protecting gays and lesbians and transgendered people, but there are, most of the population is covered by it because the major cities, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Allentown, and a lot of smaller communities, medium-sized towns, suburban townships, counties, things like that do cover it. So, you know, well over 50% of the population in the United States, if you were to add it up, is covered by these laws. So I don't think that's what he's talking about. I'm not sure exactly what he means, because there is no, as I said, federal statute that covers gays and lesbians. So you know, I'm not certain exactly what the speaker means when he says that this isn't needed because the law already includes it. But he could mean that, you know, many states and localities have passed these laws now, so there isn't as much of a need, perhaps, for the federal government to pass its own law.
We are talking about the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which did clear a hurdle in the Senate last night. The Senate clear for full floor debate, ENDA, on a vote of 61 to 30, and the Senate is expected to vote on this by the end of the week. The full Senate is expected to vote on this by the end of the week. However, it looks like this measure is not going anywhere in the House, as House Speaker John Boehner came out opposed to it yesterday. We are talking about the politics of the Employment Non-Discrimination Act with our guest and welcoming your questions and your reactions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you think that Congress should pass this act? Why or why not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 21 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, November 5th. We are talking with Gary Mucciaroni, who is a professor of political science at Temple University, who is the author of the book, Same Sex, Different Politics, Issues and Institutions in the Struggle for Gay and Lesbian Rights. Gary, by the way, received his master's and his PhD from UW-Madison, so it's nice to have that Wisconsin connection. We are talking about the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which is moving through the U.S. Senate anyway. This bill prohibits workplace discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. And we're talking about the practical and the political implications of all of this. And before we go to the phones, we do have an open line for you at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. President Obama wrote an opinion piece for the Huffington Post urging Congress to pass ENDA, or the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Why is the president writing a column on this issue?
Well, in a way, that's a good question, because there are all kinds of issues out there that he could be writing about, but he's not, right? So I think that it must be that they feel, the White House feels that this is a no-lose issue, right? The opinion polls show, and they've shown for a good while, that if you ask people, do you think there should be a law protecting people who are gay or lesbian from discrimination on the job? Overwhelming numbers of people will say yes. You know, it's about 80-90%. In fact, it's so overwhelming, pollsters don't even ask the question that much anymore. So it's a very safe, it's an issue that most of the public doesn't have a problem with, is in favor of, and we all know that the climate for gay rights has improved significantly over the past several years, and the acceleration in the past 5 to 10 years in terms of support for much more controversial legislation in terms of marriage has gone way up. So this is a fairly safe issue for the president, obviously, to take a stand on. Gays and lesbians and their allies are an important constituency group within the Democratic Party. So it's kind of an easy issue to kind of capitalize on. As he did in that editorial yesterday, he's able to frame the issue in terms of fairness and this being part of the civil rights legacy of the United States, treating people more with greater fairness, judging them on the basis of merit and not on the basis of something that he feels. I think he even states in there something about that people they're born that way, or they have that state. You know, it's a status. So it's kind of an easy issue, and I think that, you know, obviously it's coordinated with the democratically controlled Senate, and the Senate wants to, like the president does, feels this is a fairly easy issue for Democrats to vote on, and you saw yesterday every Democratic senator voted in favor of it. So it's easy for the Democrats, and it's nice politically because it puts the Republicans on the spot, you know. So the public, you know, supports the idea, but Republicans, of course, have traditionally had a problem with supporting gay rights, many of them, because of the importance of social conservatives and religious right in the Republican Party. So it can present problems for many Republican senators, and. So if you're in the majority in the Senate, you want to take votes that will kind of put your opponents on the spot coming up, especially we're, you know, a year away from the next congressional election. So I'm a bit surprised that they would have him write the editorial himself, but obviously, you know, anybody else writing it wouldn't have gotten the attention that the president can get. So let me
get a caller in. Laura in Madison. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I'd like to talk about Speaker Boehner for a minute. The most often quoted reason that he gives is to be against this is that it'll amount to frivolous lawsuits going up. I'm just wondering, that should be pretty easy to prove. Right. Here in Wisconsin, we've had the law in existence for
decades.
And I don't think that there was any increase in frivolous lawsuits. And in fact, you could make that case against any civil rights legislation, sure. I guess.
That's right.
But are people holding him to his feet to the fire on this?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that's something that the media should do. If they're doing their job, you know, scrutinizing the claims of politicians, and that is something that might not be that difficult, as you said, to check out, which is we've had a number of states, including your own, who've had these laws for a number of years. Has there been an increase in a huge volume of lawsuits, frivolous lawsuits? And, of course, you know, it might be a little difficult to decide which lawsuits are frivolous and which ones aren't, but you could, at the very least, interview, policymakers in the state, Human Rights Commission people, and find out, you know, how many lawsuits have been filed, how many claims have been brought up, and you know, are there a lot? I mean, I'm sure there probably are. Like, as with anything else, there are always exceptions, and you could probably find some that are perhaps frivolous, but. That is a major objection that is trotted out by opponents, is that there'll be an increase in litigation, an increase in regulation on employers. There will be burdens on business, but as you said, you can make that argument about any kind of civil rights legislation, and that doesn't mean you shouldn't protect people's civil rights just because there might be some burdens on business. But beyond that, the question is, how heavy are such burdens? And I think it's what's interesting is that the opponents of the legislation, one of their main arguments is the one you pointed out, that businesses will be burdened by lawsuits and regulations. But that's very different from the old objections to these kinds of laws, which were it's going to legitimate an immoral lifestyle. This goes against the Bible and religious teachings. Notice that they hardly ever trot out those kinds of objections anymore. It's mostly these kind of practical considerations about burdens on business, and there's very obvious reason for that. Most people can agree they don't want to overly burden business, right? Everybody wants a business community that is thriving because they provide jobs. On the other hand, a lot of people aren't comfortable using religion and God to condemn a group of people in the population. And so they realize that that's a very divisive kind of argument to make, and they steer away from it. But that was the old argument, if you remember, is that there are all these moral objections to homosexuality. But they
Professor
know that,
Muccioroni, I need to jump in because we are coming up on our news break, and I understand that that we can't hold you much longer after our news break. So we're going to let you go now because we have Senator Ron Johnson online ready to join us to talk about health care and other issues, and we'll ask him about this as well. So thank you so much for being with us.
Well, you're welcome.
Gary Muccioroni is a professor of political science at Temple University. We'll check news and then we'll be back. And again, we will have Senator Ron Johnson with us to talk about issues before Congress. This is the Ideas Network.